It's Sports with Amy Reid.
And watch Fox Sports reporter Mike Yuva on 102.3 The Fox.
Well, opt-out deadline was yesterday for the NFL. Mike, when I checked yesterday afternoon, the latest numbers were 60 players. Was that enough to... I haven't seen it like the NFL shut down, so it's kind of enough to continue to play, I assume, huh?
Yeah, I mean, if you asked me, like, kind of give me like a ballpark of how many players I expected to kind of opt out, I'd probably say around that number. Because that's about what? About just under two players per team, and obviously that's not the case for every team, because there's some teams like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where they have no players opting out, and then you have a team like the New England Patriots who have the most, who had eight players opt out. So I think it's one of those things that, you know, when you go across the league, it's going to be – every situation is going to be different, just like every situation is going to be different for players, and it's going to be unique. I mean, we're seeing – players who are undrafted free agents decide to opt out, who really don't have anything to be able to give them like a safety net. And then you have players that have been in the league for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and they're deciding to opt out. So it's a case-by-case situation, you know, and I just like we're seeing in college, I'm not surprised that players are opting out, but at the same time, too, I'm not surprised that more players have decided not to. Just because they want to be able to play the game, and when you're talking about the NFL, you're making money, so you're afraid that you don't want to lose money potentially down the line.
And that's what, you know, we had talked about that last week, and you brought up a really good point. It's different for high school and college players because they're not getting paid, especially what some of these NFL players get paid. So to see NFL players opt out, let's talk. I mean, do you think that's affected on a college level, on a collegiate level? And then for UFFC, what are we looking at? Have players been opting out from the Gamecocks?
Yeah, so from an NFL standpoint, if you decided to opt out this year, you're going to get paid $150,000 if you were on an NFL roster last year. So when I said players are leaving money on the table, there's guys, like I said, that were undrafted free agents, and they're putting their futures on hold, and they're putting their futures potentially at risk. But at the same time, too, that's a decision that they want to make because they feel like there is a higher risk from a health standpoint. Yeah. As far as the college level goes, you know, obviously these players aren't getting paid. And I think the thing is, though, when you're talking about money, even though they're not getting paid money right now, is could this affect my draft stock in the future? Because, you know, number one, if I was expected to be able to get drafted this year, depending on, you know, maybe I'm a late first round draft pick, second, third, or wherever, could this hurt my stock if I don't play this year? Number two, if I don't play, could this hurt my playing time potentially down the road? Being that if you don't play this season, there could be another guy that steps up in your role, and maybe next season you don't get that position back if you're planning on coming back. So that's something else that you got to think about. From USC's standpoint, they only had two players opt out this season, both guys, offensive linemen. They decided that they just felt the risk was, you know, just a little too high. You had Mark Fox and Jordan Rhodes, and Rhodes was a guy that actually saw a lot of time playing last year for the Gamecocks on that offensive line. So it's one of those things that, you know, some teams, like I mentioned for the NFL, you don't have any players opting out. We saw that with Clemson. You know, Dabo Sweeney mentioned yesterday no one opted out. So two players for USC. I feel like, you know, even though there's more college football teams, from a, you know, average standpoint, if you want to try to break it down, I feel like, you know, it's not going to be as many for college. And the reason being is I just feel like more players, especially those players that feel like they can play at the next level, they're just afraid of possibly losing, you know, money for the NFL. The other thing, too, is the NFL players, a lot of them have, you know, wives and kids, and they're also looking out for people outside of themselves. College kids, they're on campus, so they're not really going home and having to worry about getting other people sick from their family.
Yeah, I know. Yesterday, I believed that they were talking about how Ray Tanner, for as far as traveling for the Gamecocks, how that could look a little bit different. Has anything significant come from that aspect as far as how many players will be able to go on the road or how they're going to choose to do that?
Well, I asked Will that question on Wednesday, and what he said is usually the travel list consists of 70 players. He said this year it could actually be as small as 50 players. Okay. Now, in a perfect world, you know, Coach Muschamp says that, you know, every game would be played at 3:30 or later. They would either take a bus or fly in the day of the game. They'd get their meals. They'd hop on the bus that they get if they flew in. And they, you know, bus on over to the stadium, and they'd have their jerseys on ready to go, kind of like a high school football team. Do I believe that's going to be the case? No, and the reason being is because we're talking money here. We're talking SEC. We're talking ESPN. We're talking televising these games, and you're not going to be able to play every game at the same time. It's just not going to happen. So I can't see that being a possibility, but I can see definitely a slimmer amount of players going to these games, and that should not be a surprise, and I expect that to be the case with not just USC, but with pretty much every college football team across the country.
And Mike, I mean, obviously, you're a sports guy. I've been catching some of the baseball and basketball games, and it's weird, yeah, to see no fans in the stands, or they were doing, I think it was baseball who had, it might have been basketball, had almost CGI'd people in, and Lil Wayne was in the audience that one night. Doesn't it feel good, though, to just retain some kind of normalcy? Have you caught any, have you been watching games? Has it given you a different perspective on sports, or, you know, as a broadcaster even?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, from a broadcaster standpoint, or just being a sports reporter, is what's it going to feel like if you have an opportunity to cover one of these games? We don't even know what it's going to look like in terms of the attendance for college football, but if USC does allow fans and they do allow media, and depending on how that's going to look, if they allow media, how many people will be allowed in for media? Because I'm sure that number will be cut down. I think it'll be tough to get a true vibe and true pulse of what it actually feels like. But in terms of just being a fan and just watching some of these games, like you alluded to, I mean, with golf, it is a little weird sometimes when these guys are shooting. I know we have the first major championship of the year going on right now in San Francisco. It's round two today. And it is a little weird sometimes when you have Tiger Woods get announced at the tee box and there's no cheering at all. It is this weird little feeling that it's just, you know, these little things that you do miss. But I think, you know, big picture, to me, it hasn't really affected the game or the things that I've been able to watch these last couple weeks. But at the same time, too, you know, there's no question that I'm sure players for a lot of these sports would tell you that they do feed off that energy of the fans, and that it is a different type of feeling. So I think with football and you know, more than anything, it's going to be interesting to see games just being played without spectators, you know, because a lot of those players, and I can tell as a former football player myself, you feed off that energy. It's just going to be different.
Listen, they're going to have to do what I do, which is I sit in a studio by myself and I just tell jokes that make myself laugh.
toughest thing. And that's the toughest. And that's, you know what? It's funny you say that because obviously you and I, you know, we're not stand-up comedians, but there are some times we try to make a joke.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just like the best way I can compare it to. It must kind of be like Jimmy Kimmel or some of these guys that do, you know, the late-night shows. They're in their living rooms. They're in a remote place in their home doing these shows, and they're making these jokes, and you don't have that energy or that laughter, that feedback back. That's tough, and I know you have to do that yourself. I mean, that's because you don't know if you're missing the mark at all. You're throwing darts in the dark at that point.
See, and it's funny that you bring that up, because really a lot of those late night guys, and they have full staff writing for them, right? Like 10, 15
yeah.
people writing their jokes. And without the audience who's already been primed and conditioned to laugh at every single punchline, you start to realize how trash these guys are. And again, that's people writing their jokes. So I think, Mike, I think you and I are probably a little bit better.
no question about it.
If people want to hang out with you on Watch Fox or follow you on social media, where can they find you?
They can follow me on Mike_UVA. They can also check us out Monday through Friday at 11 o'clock, 30-minute sports, the only place in the Midlands where you'll find 30-minute sports each night of the sports that you guys care about, local sports. And then on Saturday, we also have our newscast from 10 to 10, 30 on Saturday, 10 to 11 on Sunday, where we sneak some sports in there as well. So crossing our fingers that football will be back and we'll be able to get through a season, but at least high school football for private schools are going on as we speak. So just baby steps each week. Just try to stay as optimistic as we can.
Yeah. Mike, thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Amy. You take care.